Hebrews chapter number 10. I love the stories behind the hymns. And Hebrews chapter 13. I don't know what I just told you. I told you 10, didn't I? I knew it. Hebrews 13. Here we are on Vision Sunday, another. See, why do you keep singing that or saying that? I feel like it's a victory. Every time, every year the church doors are open, that means another opportunity to serve the Lord to the fullest. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for these that are here praying that God would knit our hearts one with another in the Word of God and the direction of God to lead us in a direction that He sees areas that we can improve on. At our home, before we give you a minute to find Hebrews 13, at our home, we try and teach our children certain things. It's not bad that they don't know those things. We just got to teach them. And they take it a personal slight against them of when I try and explain, hey, this is how you do this, or this is, and they're like, why am I in trouble? You're not in trouble. But you got to improve in areas. And the Lord does the same thing with us. Hey, here's some areas I see that you can improve on. It's like, why are you yelling at me, God? I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to help you. Well, that's where we're at this morning. I'm not yelling at anybody. Not yet. But the Lord's trying to help us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hey, that was 2022. That's what we talked about. We talked a lot about our praise. We talked a lot about worship. And regardless of the circumstances, regardless who's in office, regardless of the financial climate, our responsibility as believers of the Lord is to praise him. Regardless of what the doctor says, regardless of what the bank account says, our job is to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. And the Bible says, praise to God continually. Hey, that's not letting up. We're not saying, okay, new year, we don't have to praise him anymore. We don't have to worship. I'm allowed to self-pity. No, no. We're continuing with that. But the verse continues, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. I'm not saying that we get so heavenly minded that we fail to acknowledge the things that are going on here. And I would never say that I'm in that. I've never been in that place. I've heard it said, oh, you get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I've not seen that. I've not seen someone walk so close to the Lord that they are untouchable and unreachable. I think the closer you get to God, the more humble you become, the more real you are, more honest you are with God. So as we, I want to remind us here as we're looking at these scriptures, as we praise the Lord, hey, there was a sacrifice of praise being offered, but there's an additional sacrifice mentioned here. But to do good and to communicate, he says these two words, forget not. Hey, don't forget. Christianity isn't all about our praise in this room. We spend approximately, well, it depends on what time you get here, a few hours a week in this room. You spend a lot of time on the outside. Hey, why has he got to remind us? Hey, don't forget, out there you got to do good. Out there you need to communicate. Hey, he's reminding us of that. Well, I'm just going to insulate myself from everybody, and I'm just waiting until Jesus comes. I don't think that's what God would have us to do. It says this, but to do good and communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Last year, in this verse, it mentions the sacrifice of praise. But here in verse 16, do good and communicate, forget not. Say, oh, that's going to require something of me. Yeah. Yep. Real relationships take time, effort. And that's what's required of us. Thankful Miss Maya is here today for the first time. Don't mean to call on you. Well, I did, you know. But how'd you come here? You have a friend or somebody that invited you. You know what? That friendship takes effort. And by someone inviting you to come to church, that means I found something good. Hey, if I find a restaurant that I like, I start telling people. To some degree, because I don't want it busy when I go. But man, I found this place and they give you good big portions and it doesn't cost a lot. Hey, you're telling people you got in on something good. Hey, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed my life. It's a group of people. They're not perfect people. They're a little quirky sometimes. But God meets with us in that place. And I'd like you to come. Hey, there's an investment in friendship. There's an investment in relationship. We're still 100%, even more than ever before, going door knocking, cold calls, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging door hangers, inviting people to church, people we've never met, the person at Wegmans, handing tracks to, the person at Tops, handing tracks to, a person at Aldi, handing tracks to, where Walmart, yeah, even Walmart, we're handing tracks to. But I'm telling you, probably more people will come into to meet the Lord Jesus Christ by a real relationship. Do good and communicate. Forget not. Question this year we're going to ask ourselves is this. Who are you reaching? Who are you reaching? Say, that's going to take sacrifice. For with such sacrifices, the Bible says, God is well pleased. Imagine getting to heaven and you say, God, I sacrificed all of this for me. And God said, you wasted. No, I need you to sacrifice for others. I'm not saying you're nailing yourself to the cross, not that type of sacrifice. But you know real relationships take time. They take effort. They're calculated. They're investments. Hey, real investments kind of cut into your daily living. So do real investments in people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And God, we pray that you would bless this message here this morning. God, that you would meet with us here. And Lord, break down any walls that we've established between us and thee. Lord, I thank you again for your love. Thank you that some 30 years ago, our neighbor invited us to church and forever changed the course of our life, not by any other thing than meeting you. Lord, I pray that we would help others meet you. Lord, we need you here now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So who are you reaching? Who's on your list? Who's on your radar? Who are you paying attention to? Who are you calculated to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? But before any of that, I'm going to ask you this question. Has the Lord reached you? Has the Lord reached you? Psalm 91 this morning. Psalm 91. Look at this beautiful verse in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place... Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's two words there I want to draw your attention to, dwelleth and abide. Hey, if you're not used to the King James Bible, it's pretty simple. Dwelleth means dwells, all right? Abide means to live, all right? He that abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hey, there's some real relationship going on there. We're using two words that are not temporary, but permanent. What is that? Dwelleth and abide. God says, I'd like that between you and I. I would like the relationship to be defined as not an occasional meeting, but abideth and dwelleth. That sounds like permanent residency. And that's what God wants. God wants to spend time with you, but he wants you to spend time with him. He wants you at his place. Has the Lord Jesus Christ reached you? Say, well, what's hindering it? You. He's made the offer. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, he desires that we would love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. Say, that's all of me. Yes, absolutely. That's what he wants. He wants exclusive rights to your heart, to your will. God wants you in his house. Thankful for the children that we have. We have five children. And we have rules about our house. As long as you want to live here, these are the rules by which we govern our home. And we pray that we one day maybe part ways on amiable terms, not that we cut off our children, but they move on continuing the things that they learned. I don't want to have to tell Hudson, I'm sorry, you just can't live here anymore. You're not doing what we've asked you to do. Now he's 11, we wouldn't necessarily, we might do that. All right. He does eat a lot. He likes eggs, which is putting us in the... Anyways. But what does he want? What does God want? Hey, I want you to live in this place. I want you to dwell with me. I want you to abide with me. But we can't go to God and say, God, all right, let me set the parameters of how this... No, God has established how things are between us and him. And it's based on his guidelines, not mine. And if I'm going to dwell with the Lord in the secret place of the Most High, if I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I've got to yield myself to him. Hey, has the Lord reached you with that? John chapter 15. John chapter 15. So you said you weren't going to yell. Sorry, I just get a little loud. Not yelling at you. John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Again, pay attention to that word. That's what he wants. John chapter 15, Christ is speaking of this special intimacy between us and the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. For Christmas, where are the Baumans? They're teaching Sunday school. For Christmas, the Baumans got me this olive tree and I'm so excited about it. And it's a pretty tree we got, and trying to take care of it, really trying really hard not to kill it. And I think it's special and unique, and I'm excited maybe August getting in a couple years some olives off of it and say, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. I don't know how it all works, but I'm excited about it. But if I took that branch and I just ripped it right off the main trunk and I held that and say, man, I hope I get some fruit off. I'm not getting any fruit off that. Why? Because it's cut off from the main line. God says, abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Hey, God's got some blessings, some things associated. If we associate ourselves with God, do you think God's way in his presence, when we dwell, when we abide with the Lord, there's going to be fruit in your life. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he says, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. That's what abiding looks like. In his presence. Has the Lord reached you? Let me ask you, where are you living? Well, I live in, and you're going to list off some address. No, no. Has the Lord reached your heart? Do you love God with all your heart? Has he saved your soul? How do you get that? What is that? Simply by acknowledging that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And if you simply admit your sin, repent of your sin, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sin to the Lord, you know what the Bible says? He'll save you. Has he reached you? After that, there needs to be openness and honesty amongst us and the Lord if we're going to grow. Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. Has the Lord reached you? I'm not sure if that's bad English, now that I'm saying it verbally. Has the Lord reached you? Oh, that sounds right. Luke chapter 8 and verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Look at verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. God says, with me, there's nothing hidden. There's nothing hidden with the Lord. The Bible reminds us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Oh, I got to put my best foot forward. I got to dress up the best for the Lord. Hey, He knows what's on the inside. The sooner we're just open and honest with Him and say, I'm broken, I need you, the better off we'll be. There are no hidden things with the Lord. Christianity is not a game or something that we just play on Sunday. It's who we are all the time. It'd be a shame. It would be a shame to say this of you. You're one way on Sunday and different on Tuesday. So what about Monday? Well, there's a transition day in there. Well, we say these words and we present ourselves this way on so. Yeah, but what about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Is this stuff real to you? Hey, Christianity is not some, it's not some social network. It's real. Hebrews chapter number 4. Has the Lord reached you? Well, I think so. Oh, you know. If God is real to you, it affects every single aspect of your life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God is able to get right down into the heart of the matter. Look at verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Well, I'm just going to keep this area of my life sheltered from the eyes of God. No, you're not. No, you're not. Actually, everything, according to those last verses in Luke chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 4, actually everything is in complete exposure, both by light and nakedness. So yeah, that makes me feel uncomfortable a little bit. Hey, that's how you are in the eyes of God. Just honest, open. That's a real relationship. And Him, listen, this is what baffles me. Him knowing everything, not everything on the inside, He still invites us. Hey, why don't you come dwell here? Why don't you come abide here? This is where I want you. I want you with me. Has the Lord reached you? A real relationship with the God of heaven. That we not just be hearers, but doers of the word. That there be real communication between the scriptures and our heart. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Hey, how's your Bible reading schedule going this year? Well, you know, I try and read a verse here and there. No, no. This is have got to be the food for your soul. Well, I'm not a good reader. Then listen to it. Audiobook, something. But the Word of God has got to get into your heart. Then we got to do something about it. Wednesday nights, we've been talking about prayer. How real is prayer to you? Well, it's just something I say before. Hey, do you pour out your heart before God? We looked at it Wednesday night. Hannah, as she's praying about her son, soon to be Samuel, and just the Bible says she poured out her heart before the Lord. Does that describe your prayer life? Pouring out your heart before God? Hey, has the Lord reached you? Well, you know, sometimes it's tough. Hey, God ought to be in every aspect of your life. That's how you know it's real. Well, Sundays I do this, or he's got this part. No, he ought to have all of us. That's what he wants. How could I ever be expected to minister or go and at least even be aware of the needs of the people around me when God just doesn't even have a hold of my heart yet? I cannot be expected, or it cannot be expected, to properly minister to those that are around us if our Heavenly Father in our relationship has been hindered. Say, what's hindering it? You. You are the hindrance. The world, the flesh, the devil, all of it. It hinders your relationship with the Lord. If you're saved here, you understand even after you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do it one time. That's it. Paid for, in full, past, present, future, eternal life, your home. But I don't know about you, but have you sinned since you got saved? Yeah. Well, what do we do about that? Well, that's going to hurt your relationship with God. It hurts it. It hinders it. You need to be clean before the Lord. That's what that scriptures are. Well, God, I didn't even know that hurt you. I didn't even know that that was an issue. There you are talking to the Lord. He's calling. Right now, he's calling somebody. Who are you reaching? Number one, has the Lord reached you? Number two, Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. And this is the direction for the year. These next 2 points. But we can't even discuss the other 2 points if God doesn't got a hold of our hearts. Because it will take sacrifice. It will take effort. It will take a change of mindset. Number one, has the Lord reached you? Number two, are you reaching the lost? Luke 19:10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Hey, the lost don't need just finding, they need saving. Ever lose something? Maybe, Brother Rice, ever lose like your keys or something like that? Ever lose your keys? All the time. This morning, you were looking for your keys. Brayden came in, and we meet for early for prayer, and Brayden came in, and he's like, sorry, we were looking for like 20 minutes for our keys. I'm like, it's just a lot easier if you just leave them in your vehicle. I mean, that. He's like, my car got stolen. I'm like, in Hamlin? He's like, no. Yeah, back at college, and it scarred me. I get it. Okay. Hey, it's not just one thing. Hey, I found a lost person. No, no, they don't just need to be found, they need to be saved. Amen. And to save that which was lost. They don't just need finding, they need saving. Why? Ephesians chapter number 2. Why, they need to be part of the club? No. There's a real consequence to sin. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Ephesians 2:5, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Why do the lost need to be saved? Because they're dead in their sins. And the eternal, hey, Jesus Christ offers eternal life, but the consequence of sin isn't just the difficulties you experience here on this life. It is eternal damnation. There's a real place. There's three real places. Earth, heaven, and hell. All three are very real. One is very easy to understand. Two are going to take a little bit of faith. But there's really people burning in hell right now. For how long? For all eternity. There's no get out of jail. There's no get out of hell. You go to hell, you're there forever. You can't pray them out. You can't work them out. And if you die in your sin, that's where you're headed. That's why the lost needs saving. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. So who are you reaching? Who are you reaching? Are you reaching the lost? Are you at least reaching out to the lost? Well, I'm busy. Busier than eternity? 1 Corinthians 2:14. But to do good and communicate, forget not. Don't forget that. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Why do we need to reach the lost? Because this is how they are. Natural. And such were some of you, right? This is where we all were. Hey, when I was 10 years old and I came into the church for the, well, it wasn't even a church, it was a daycare. First time. And that Sunday school teacher went through the plan of salvation. It was what I was wondering about my whole entire life, but no one ever showed me. I knew there was a God and I knew I was a sinner. But what do you do with those two things? And they showed me. He showed me what it meant to be lost, but then what it meant to be saved and to put your faith and trust in Him. And at 10 years of age, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. There were some things that I just wasn't getting from the Lord. Jason sang about God's peace. There's no peace outside of Christ. There's no joy. There's no love. Hey, if you're looking for what this world, give me the best you got to offer. That's a mess. Say, God, what do you have? Well, I have eternal life and love and joy and peace and all of those things. Forgiveness. You know that guilt you feel about what you did? I can take that from you. I'd like to. I'd like you to cast all your care on me for I really do care for you. But that's something special between you and the Lord. Are you reaching the lost? Lost need to be saved. Well, let's take a mission trip. How about to your neighbor? How about to your fellow worker? Your classmate? Maybe your family? Every prayer meeting, our young people, they say, pray for our lost family. Are you reaching the lost? Who are you telling about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who are you praying about? Who are you investing in? The Bible tells us the last thing He told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall be witnesses. That's what He wants. Well, I'm good to just come to church. I want to get a little something from God, and then I want to just go live my life happy. And hey, you can be happy. There's no greater joy than being obedient to God, I'll tell you that. You live for the Lord, that's a whole different ballgame. I'm telling you, it's the greatest life. You shall be witnesses. Are you reaching the lost? And then thirdly, number one, has the Lord reached you? Number two, are you reaching the lost? Number three, are you reaching your fellow Christian? John chapter 14. John 14, we're reminded of this. John 13. John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Are you reaching your fellow Christians? Saying, they're already saved. Why do I need to reach them? Hey, I'm not sure if you're aware of the ups and downs of life. But sometimes, most times, people could use some encouragement. If we didn't need encouragement or anything like that, we could just empty out those Sunday school classrooms and just bring everybody in here. No, we have people by design teaching lessons to minister to your children. We have kindergartners sitting there eating paste at the end of the hall. We got fifth and sixth graders learning about the tabernacle and all of those things. We're trying to reach our fellow Christian too. Hey, we ought not to neglect those that are in this room. Romans chapter 15. Bible says, all men shall know that you are my disciples by your love one for another. Romans 15, look at these verses. Romans 15, 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Paul says, I have a desire to help you, bring the grace of God to you, to minister to you. So are you reaching your fellow Christian? Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're almost done. Ephesians 4 and 12. The Bible reminds us that he gave us some people to help us with some things. What things? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's not the end of the journey, that's the beginning. And there's going to be a lot of things between here and there. Hey, if God wanted you to just stop and be with him, he would yank you out the minute you put your trust in him. But you're here doing something for the Lord. The perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Are you edifying? Are you encouraging? Hey, who'd you have over in the last couple weeks? Who'd you minister to? Who'd you take out for a cup of coffee? Who'd you send a card to? Who'd you ask about their life? Now, this isn't just cry on my shoulder, I'll cry on yours. But who are you encouraging in the faith? Who? Who are you reaching amongst your fellow Christians? Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians 6, isn't that about sowing and reaping? Most certainly is. In verse 7 it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's amazing how fast time goes. Man, just like 2 minutes ago it was 2000. Here we are 23 years later. So why are you bringing this up? For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I'm sorry. Yep. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Aiden, how old are you? 13. In a hot second, you're going to be 18. Know what someone needs? Someone needs to invest in him. Because in 2 minutes, he's going to be able to go out on his own and live life. And you know what? Know what he needs? He needs a fellow Christian to take him along the way and say, let me help you with some things. Ask him about his day. How's your Bible read? How are you growing in the Lord? Be an example to that. Say, it's going to take some sacrifice. But the time will come when we look back and go, I wish I would have. And the time has passed. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Are you reaching your fellow Christian? Are you investing in somebody? Guaranteed, there's somebody, just about everybody, there's someone older than you here. Have you paired up with somebody a little further down the road than you? Hey, good chance that there's someone one season behind you. Hey, there's a couple 13-year-old boys up here. Benjamin, you're 15? 16. There's some 19, 20-year-olds that can look back and go, I remember that. That was a hard time in my life. You think it was just hard for you? Oh, no. It's hard for them too. There's some young girls trying to figure out life. We got 13, 17. No, how old are you? 14. Hey, girls, remember 13, 14? Ooh. You may be sitting here going, I made some really bad choices at 13, 14, and I'm still dealing with, hey, what do you think they need? They need their fellow Christian lady to come along and say, hey, let me help you of how to walk in godliness and love the Lord and to yield yourself to His will. That's what they need. Say, well, they have parents. I think we all need to help. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Not just our young people. First Corinthians 12, 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. We're not talking about body parts here. We're talking about the body of Christ. And in no way can one part of the body of Christ say to the other part, I don't need you. It's not true. No. Nor, again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, it says. So are you reaching your fellow Christian for fellowship, investment, encouragement? I want to see God do amazing things. I want to be part of the Lord working miracles. Say, how does that look? Lastly, Matthew chapter 19. Anybody have a favorite preacher? Maybe someone that you really, maybe it was just at the right time, right place, whatever. But years ago, I heard a message by Dr. Gibbs, Doing the Impossible. I've heard him preach it a number of times since then. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, listen now, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I want to see God do the impossible things, things that I could never do. Say, what is that? Reach the lost, strengthen the body of Christ. I want to be part of that. More than ever before. Hey, let's not forget to do good and communicate. Communicate what? What does communicate mean? It simply means to share something that you have. I've met the Lord Jesus Christ and He's my Savior. Can I tell you about Him? We do that for our neighbors, for our fellow workers, classmates. Hey, maybe you're not good at talking about the Lord, but your life lives a testimony and one that pleases God, and you can say, you know what, can I invite you on Sunday morning? Can I take you out for breakfast, and then after that, can we go to church? I'd love to introduce you to my church family. And I love pancakes, so we can do both those. Who are you reaching? Number one, has the Lord reached you? Number two, are you reaching the lost? Number three, are you reaching your fellow Christian? All right, here's the plan, guys. We're going to go in, we're getting into church, and then we get out. Don't talk, don't make eye contact, don't talk to anybody. Just do what we got to do and get home. Or you could be part of doing the impossible. What is that? Ministering to the hearts and minds of men through the Lord Jesus Christ. So where are you at this morning? Are you here this morning? Are you lost? Has the Lord reached you? If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? So how do you know that? The Bible tells us that we can know that we have eternal life. It's not, well, I hope so. I hope I've done enough good to outweigh my bad. That's not how it works. You could never do enough good to outdo your bad. Because you're only saved by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If there was a way that you could earn salvation, it would be so easy to be so prideful. That's not how salvation was paid for. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. And you need to put your faith and trust in Him. I promise you, it'll change the course of your entire life. If you're wondering what purpose is, why am I on this earth? What is this all about? Why don't you give your life to the Lord? It'd be amazing how He will open up your eyes to spiritual things. Has the Lord reached you? I got saved when I was younger. Is the Word of God living inside of you? Number two, are you reaching the lost this year? And every year hereafter, may I say, not that we haven't done it before, but to do good and communicate, forget not. The devil would love for us to forget that there's a lost world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's important. And then our fellow Christian, Seth, I think on last Sunday night, talked about, hey, we got some kids if you're interested in pairing up. Exactly what we're talking about here. Are you reaching your fellow Christian? Let's all stand. In just a moment, the music's going to play and we're going to have something called an invitation. If you're familiar with it, you'll understand what to do. Maybe you just want to come and pray to God and say, God, I want to be part of the impossible. I want to be part of Matthew 19. I want to see you work in minds and hearts of men that no man could do. But if you'd give me a part in it, I'd love to be part of it. Reaching the lost, reaching your fellow Christian. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, again, I invite you to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a lady, we'll pair you up with a lady. If you're a man, we'll pair you up with a man. And you could just say, I just like some more information. I don't even understand what you're talking about here today. Well, let someone show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a Christian. Not a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church, but to know for sure that heaven is your eternal home. Again, who are you reaching? Are you reaching the lost? Are you reaching your fellow Christian? So that's going to take a lot of sacrifice. Yeah, I know. And God says, I'm well pleased with that. I'm well pleased with that. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, give us a desire, a compassion, a love for the lost, a love for our fellow Christian. Lord, forgive us if we've created a life where we don't need you. Lord, help us. Humble our hearts today. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today?